Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Box Trick. I'm your host, Matt, otherwise known on the internet as Super Gains Bros, joined once again by Kyle, the age of retro. How are we doing today, man?
Doing great. How are you?
I'm good, man. I am.
Thanks for having me again.
Absolutely, man. I don't even know. This is like six or seven at this point. I mean, we've kind of said, hey, like about every 5-6 weeks, we're just going to try to do another one. Just to keep it going. Yeah, man. Last time we did some N64, and now we're talking NES. We were thinking Game Boy. I have to come back to that. NES, we're going to have to do maybe multiple episodes on because there's just too many.
Were very excited just even talking about the idea for this episode.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I am all for it.
Absolutely. So we've each got our three games like normal. We will start with a little bit of news, just a little bit of catching up here. Have you done any pickups? I was talking a little bit about mine before I hit recorded here.
Yeah, pickups.
Oh, yeah, I think I saw some on Instagram or TikTok.
I did. I'll talk about those in a bit once we get into the Nintendo. But I've been picking up some NES. I have jumped back into Hollow Knight because I realized I didn't finish it the first time because we now have Silk Song finally. Yeah. So yeah, I still have not finished Bonanza. The vacation I took absolutely ruined any momentum I had for that game. I gotta get back in.
How is Silk Song, by the way?
I haven't jumped in yet, but
no, you're finishing Hollow Knight first.
I'm finishing that, and that game is just so good. It is so good, and it hurts my head to think that two humans themselves made this game.
Yeah, I have it on like Steam. I think I got it like on sale one day when it was like super cheap, and I was like, I'll pick this up. I played like 10 minutes of it, and I was like, this is a game I really feel like I need to sit down and commit to.
You
and it just wasn't the kind of, I mean, it's the Metroidvania style game is a formula obviously I like. I just haven't done it with that yet.
Yeah, you definitely have to power through it. It's got that tough wave up front where you have to get through the first 2 hours at least. But once you get through that, man, you're hooked in.
Yeah, what have I picked up? Man, I picked a few things digitally. I got Hades 2. I finally finished my Hades. I blitzed through it. I spent like 80 hours within like the span of like 5 weeks, just like like hammering that game every day. Loved it. Hades 2, I'm not super into just yet. It's still in early access, but it's supposed to be coming out soon, the full release. It's definitely different.
That game has been in early access for the past
for a long time. Yeah, it's just a different feel. I mean, it looks great, everything. I think I'll get more into it, but it's just they really are actually like very different games. Like when you play them, Hades 2 is much more about like crowd control than Hades 1 is. Hades 1's much more like dashing and dodging, whereas this is much more about like, all right, like set up some like explosive thing over here and another spell over here and to kind of like control the crowds and stuff. So just an interesting thing. Picked up Dave the Diver. Never played it before. I've always heard good things, and now I'm like, oh, I totally see the appeal of it.
Very niche, very cult.
Yeah, you know, it's
following.
Yeah, I get it, and it's so weird that I have this like 4090 graphics card, and I'm playing Balatro, Stardew Valley, and Dave the Diver. You know, it's like so ridiculous. And Vampire Survivors. It's like, right, these are the games I play, and it's like, why do I need all this
vampire game?
why do I need all this graphic power? It's great. We're going to be talking 8-bit today. A few other things. I picked up Madden on the Switch. And you know, it's the performance is slightly better than I feel like everyone said. I don't know if EA's put out any patches yet, but I feel like they should. I feel like I think a performance mode where graphically it looks good. I almost feel like you could knock the graphics down a little bit and up the FPS and I'd be totally fine with it.
There's no option for that.
No.
Like performance over, what is it, quality?
No, I hope they do. But yeah, I actually also say it's the best Madden I've played in a long time. They actually did overhaul the franchise mode quite a bit, which is nice. And the last Madden I played was 20. I did play 25. So I played, or do I have 24? I think I have 24. So yeah, I played 20, 24, and then I played 20, and I'm playing 26 now. But I still think college football's leagues ahead. So much better of a game. Just structure.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot. It's more fun, I think.
Yeah, there's a lot more to it. Daemon X Machina, Titanic Scion, the sequel. I loved the first one on Switch. It was one of the first games. I was like, oh my God, this is going to be so cool. It's big robot game. It is just not a great optimized game in general, on any platform, but it does, I think, run okay and well on Switch as well as it probably could. It's a pretty solid 30 FPS, but it's totally different game than the first one. The first one is just drop into a mission, think kind of Armored Core style gameplay. This one is big, huge open world. It's so they're just two totally different games. I like them both, but I'm a few hours into it. I'm waiting on Metal Gear Solid
Delta. I am too. I hear it's great. I also hear that it's not as a big a spectacle as it was back in the day when it initially came out. The game actually feels kind of small, which I can't get my head around, but I am curious to check it out.
Yeah, I am too. I'll get it eventually. I'm waiting to see actually if it gets a Switch 2 port. If they're hey, it's going to get one next year. Then if it gets one next year, and even if it's obviously a lower resolution and everything, I'll pick it up on that just because I'll play it on the go.
You know what just came out too is Star Wars Outlaws.
And on apparently the Switch 2. Port's great.
I hear it's fantastic, and I own it for PS5, and I'm super tempted to get it on
Switch. Did you like Star Wars Outlaws? Because when it came out, a lot of people pushed back on it. And obviously, yeah, you're a big Star Wars guy.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. I got it when it initially came out, so it was still kind of choppy, but I was playing other stuff, and from what I understand, they patched so much of that game that it's a very, very good game now. So okay. I think it's time to jump back into it.
Yeah, I'm considering it. I actually tried to boot up, now that I'm in the ultra wide PC master race, I was I want to give Star Wars Squadrons another go. Oh my
God. I love that game.
And man, I don't know. I jumped back into it. I'm just oh my God, it's so slow.
Are you playing with a joystick?
No, I'm just playing with a controller.
Forget it. Throw it away.
So I have it on PC. So
PC. Get a flight stick. You can get a cheap one. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Playing
less
on
less is more.
It is pretty immersive. Yes. This is pretty sweet.
Yes. When I still had I left the Master Race. I got rid of my widescreen. It was too much for some games.
Yeah.
Seeing The Witcher 3 in widescreen is astonishing.
I know, but then some games it doesn't work and it's annoying. Yeah.
That's the problem.
It's a hassle sometimes.
I got out of it.
Yeah.
But Squadrons in widescreen is.
Okay, I will give Squadrons another chance. Maybe it's just
the joystick. Mission. Yeah, with the flight stick.
Okay. I don't have a flight stick, but I could get one. I could check it out. But I mean, it's because I loved Rogue Squadron and everything, and I didn't really play any of the old TIE Fighter, X-Wing games, whatever. But did you see the news, though, about why Ubisoft said they chose game key card?
I did not.
So Ubisoft said that they chose a game key card for Star Wars Outlaws because the micro S, whatever the cartridge is, I think it's micro SD Express that they're using in the actual Switch cartridges, which are faster than the Switch Switch 2 cartridges are faster than Switch 1, because Daemon X Machina is on the cart. It's full actual on the cart. But they said that it's not fast enough, and that's why they chose game key card. Now that could be Ubisoft just being Ubisoft and trying to get some positive PR, because they've had really bad PR in the last year. Atrociously bad PR.
So they thought, let's put some heat on Nintendo, is what they thought.
Maybe, or maybe it's true and maybe it's not. And maybe that will be one of the reasons why some of the bigger games do. But Cyberpunk runs on that.
Right. And it's fully on the card.
And it's fully on that. And Ubisoft did a great job optimizing this game. I mean, like, people have compared it to the Steam Deck and they're not even close.
Right.
So I don't know.
It's like a wrestling move. Let's put some heat on Nintendo.
Let's see what happens.
Yeah, let's get some ground. I don't know. I don't mind the key card either. It still retains some value. It's not that empty package, which I
know. I've pushed back on people a little bit, and I think where I'm ultimately out on it now is it's still a little too early to see. My hope is that it gives indie creators a space to have physical sales in the door.
Yep.
And I think you're going to have some of that. I do think you will have situations like this where you have big developers say it's actually cheaper for me to put it on the game key card. I mean, if we're getting more physical than digital, I'm all for it. So right. I guess I just personally think it will it pushes us more physical than it does more digital, even though it is kind of like a digital key, whatever. It's certainly better than key in a box, but I mean, obviously what we ultimately really want is just everything to be on physical cartridges.
Right.
We don't live in that world anymore. So
I think too, Silk Song and Team Cherry, I think they're changing the game. Other companies should take notice. They just pumped out a game. Yeah. It took them a bit of time, it took them 7 years. Right. And then they just almost shadow drop this thing, because I think there's only a month between the release date and when it actually released, and they were able to release a game on every major platform, destroying every one of them in the process.
Oh yeah.
For $20. And
I know.
The game is a masterpiece that everyone says it is. When there is a physical release, I'm definitely going to buy it, because it's going to be a while. It's going to be a while.
It will be.
They do a physical.
Yeah. Yeah. And we'll have to see ultimately what it does, whether it's going to be them pushing it out or if it's going to be like a limited run or.
Yeah, it probably actually I think it's going to be Fangamer. Oh, I think it's going to be Fangamer because they did the last one.
Yeah. OK, well, I think we can dive in here. That's mostly it for a little bit of the news. There was a little bit of news. I thought I saw something the other day that said that Nintendo had restored a few patents on things, one of which was being Earthbound. But I think it's just like they have to do it every so often. Doesn't mean we're getting a new Earthbound. We're supposed to be getting a Direct. As we are recording this, it's Tuesday evening.
As of now, there isn't one.
The 9th. Hey, by the way, September 9th, shout out. I don't know how many years it's been. Oh, I guess it's been, 25 years? That is insane.
September
9th.
99. That's true.
Day of the Dreamcast.
I remember that fateful day.
That is insane. It's been 25 years.
I don't know math.
I mean, 26
years.
99. Jeez.
26 years.
That's insane.
That's insane. Yeah,
it feels like
a lifetime. It is.
I wasn't even 20.
Well, I mean, Mario is going to be how old?
40.
Mario going to be? He's going to be 40.
40th anniversary of Mario. Yeah,
which is bananas.
It is. Yeah.
Star Wars is going to be 50.
That feels more okay because that's
it's going to start next year. It's going to start next year.
50th anniversary.
A lot of 50th stuff.
Yeah, what do you want for the Mario 40th?
That's a great question. I would love at least bare minimum, give us Galaxy 2.
Yeah,
because it should have been in that last edition.
Mm-hmm.
And a new announcement. Give us a new game. Maybe it's not out next year. I think Nintendo would be crazy to not release a Mario next year. But yeah. At least give us something soon. Give us a little tease.
Odyssey 2 or, I mean, I think another All-Stars game. I think, that's what I would really love is I would love for them to basically do another Super Mario Brothers All-Stars and do like 1, 2, 3 and maybe even World in like the like wonder or like, update the graphics. Like, sometimes, I usually go back to the NES, which we're going to be talking here in a bit.
Yeah.
But man, sometimes I do like to go back and play the SNES versions of those games. 1, 2, and 3.
Add some Inception on top of that. Include the original NES versions. The Super Mario All-Star version from Super Nintendo. Then remake them, like you said, in that new format.
Right. Just like the, I mean, a lot of those, you know, it's like Mario Maker has, people have recreated a lot of those levels, and it's got those, like, even that's kind of cool, because it's like this almost, not to copy Square, but it's like that 2D HD where it's like, there's, you know, that's the old style. Would love it. Yeah. Would love it. Okay. Well, today we're doing our NES classics. So like normal, we've each got three games. Going to be talking about it. You're a little bit older than me. So NES, you played, obviously. I was at the tail end of the NES, and like, so Sega, like Genesis was really my first console, but my aunt, I always went over, I would always go over there, like on the weekends and everything, be babysit, and you know, my mom and dad or whatever. So I spent a lot of time over there, and she had an NES. So I would always be able to play her NES, and she had everything. She had like, I mean, she had the Zapper. She had the joystick, had the Arkanoid controller, had the wheel, NES controller, like that's got the little prongs and like the two advantage, is that what it is? The NES Advantage, right? Had that, had a handful of games.
Is
Game Genie, all of it.
This is the leftover system for a lot of people. Everyone had an NES, so everyone grew up with it too, even the second time around. So if you grew up in the 90s and you were born in the 90s, there's a good chance you're picking up somebody's old NES and you're playing it.
Exactly.
Like, you know, same thing with Super Nintendo. Like, obviously, you're going to play it, but it's definitely that leftover system. For me, that was Atari.
Yeah.
Like, I played my brother's 2600. They had a massive collection of games. 1985, 86 comes along. Nintendo shuts the game down. It was already shut down.
Right. Yeah, you know, I've never played an Atari, ever.
Why?
I just never played one.
Like a physical? You've never played like a ROM version either, an emulator?
I played a couple games. I played like the Star Wars game, but no, I've never played an Atari.
You're not missing.
That's like, it's like, for me, it's like gaming starts at NES. It's like anything before, and I'm like,
I mean, it almost ruined the entire industry. So
right.
It was oversaturated.
Yeah. Well, hey, I will let you go first.
All right. So first up for me is Gargoyle's Quest 2, which is a fantastic Capcom game with a lot of little RPG elements to it, which you wouldn't expect because they weren't really RPG-ish at the time in the 80s and 90s. And it's just a fantastic platformer, very fun adventure game, and it blew my mind when I first learned that this was actually based on, if you recognize this character, that's Firebrand, and you'll recognize him from Ghouls and Ghosts and Super Ghouls and Ghosts from back in the day. He's that little red demon that would fly around and absolutely kick your ass no matter what game he's in. He's giving you a beating. And I just, that blew my mind. So this is really a spin-off series of Ghouls and Ghosts and Ghosts and Goblins. And it's fun. It's very fun. It's a sequel game. Honestly, every game that I have today is somehow a sequel. I didn't plan it. It just, they're all the twos. And another thing that I realized is that one of them is from 1988. One is from 1990. And this guy is from 92. So every 2 years I have a game here. And end of the life cycle, tough time to be an NES game. So 1992 was a rough year for them. Have you played it?
I have not. I have, however, played, of course, Demon's Crest on the Super Nintendo, which came out 2 years later.
Which is 94, part 3.
Right, which is 94. I think that's the one most people look at. Yeah. A lot of people probably don't even really realize it's part 3.
Yeah. Part 3. The first one was on Game Boy, which is also, it stood the test of time. You can still pick it up and play. It's very similar to this game and play style. But 3 is like masterclass in gaming. Just a perfect dark Capcom game.
Yeah, and yeah, you know, it's, I mean, Capcom, they were just cranking out platformers left and right. So, like, Mega Man was so successful on the NES that it just allowed Capcom to be like, what else can we try on the NES? And I think it's, you know, I mean, obviously they posted on Game Boy, but you know,
I was thinking about the Mega Man series the other day. How does a single system produce six games?
It's a lot.
That's a lot for a single system.
Right. Outside of sports games, I was, I don't know that many franchises have that, do they?
No, that's never, like, you don't see that in any system.
Like, even say, like, Assassin's Creed, like, how many Assassin's Creed games are on, like, PS?
Oh, like, three.
I mean, of course, you get ports and stuff like that. So, take away collections and whatnot, like, but just, like, direct games.
Assassin's Creed.
I mean, Call of Duty became annual. So, maybe. Yeah,
not even that. Not even that. No way. The closest thing is Super Nintendo. They had X1 through 3. It had the soccer game. And then it had Mega Man 7. That's as close as it really.
Yeah, that's a lot of Mega Man.
Yeah. Capcom was just like
printing. And then, like, Little Samson is basically Mega Man.
Yeah.
Like, if you play it, I mean, it just it feels just like Mega Man.
It does. But yeah, Capcom ran. Now what? Now what do they do with it? Nothing.
Yeah.
They Mega Man money.
So do you like this? So do you like Crest 2 more than you like Demon's Crest?
No. But I do love the fact that it's a part of this world that I never really knew about growing up. It's something that I learned as an adult. So if you do like those games, I highly recommend it. Obviously, it's not the best Capcom game, but it's a less known one, I think. But it is rare too.
And also, maybe, like, if you're a Halloween gamer and you're getting ready for some Halloween games, and
perfect time of year.
Don't necessarily just want to play Castlevania. You could go this route, which is kind of interesting. That at least gives you another option on NES.
It is beautiful too. They did such a good job.
I'm looking at some gameplay footage of it here because I'm not familiar with this one, but I am more familiar with Demon's Crest. And yeah, I mean, as far as an NES game goes, I mean, it's right there with everything else.
Yeah, it's not as gloomy as Demon's Crest is. I think it's a little bit more like, if you look at the visuals on Demon's Crest, it's just badass dark demon stuff. But this one's a little, you know, it's got daytime. It's got nice little castles. It's not as dark.
And it's pretty interesting. I feel like when everyone talks about this franchise, it's always the first game and then Demon's Crest. Mm-hmm. Like, you would almost never even believe that there's a second game. And even here, there's like open world segments. I'm not open world, but you go RPG, from like little town to town. Yeah.
You RPG talk to people, element. You have conversations, they give you items. It's an RPG and a platformer. Very, very uncommon for the time.
Well, that's okay, because it's a perfect segue into my game. Great. First game I'm going to talk about, which is often considered one of the worst games in its franchise, and that is Zelda 2, The Adventure of Link, which I am a staunch supporter of. I am a diehard defender of this game because I think so many people look at it as the black sheep of the Zelda franchise, but really, if you go back, it's a pretty bold experiment for Nintendo at the time.
Yep.
Because you have the top-down Legend of Zelda, which was a huge game, and then I really think actually they were looking and thinking, saying, how do we improve this? Mm-hmm. Like, what is going to be like the future of gaming? And instead you get very similar to Gargoyle's Quest 2 here. I mean, I guess I should say it's the other way around because Zelda came out first.
Yeah.
But you take that formula and then it's like, okay, now you can have more, in a way, it's a more realistic game than Zelda 1. Because it's like, you see a bigger sprite, mm-hmm. right? And you get it, like, the combat is way more advanced than Zelda 1, right? I mean,
I love that game, honestly. I'm not one of the haters on 2. I think it's a great game. It gave us Dark Link. It gave us like incredible action sequences with the bridges falling apart. Like, when I don't think you ever saw a bridge fall behind you in a game before that game. And it's funny. Today is just full circle, our conversation, because the Hollow Knight creators said we were inspired like deeply by Zelda 2 for Hollow Knight.
Yeah, and it's interesting that that's like the one game that's never gotten a remake, mm-hmm. or enhanced port or anything of the Zelda games. Because technically speaking, Zelda 1 does actually have an enhanced port.
Yeah, it's the best way to Breath of the Wild.
No, for the Super Nintendo in Japan, there's the Satellaview, which was a satellite television thing. And there is a like different version of, I did a review of it on my YouTube channel, and you can find a ROM of it on like ROM Hacks.
Oh, I have it.
Any of those. Yeah. Yep. And yeah, you can play it, and it is like an enhanced version of it. But Zelda 2 is the one that's never gotten an enhanced port. Like Link's Awakening got DX port, and then it got obviously the Switch port. Link to the Past kind of got a cleaned up translation port on the Game Boy Advance, but it's never had like a full remake, remaster, or, you know, whatever, needs one. But yeah, I mean, Zelda 2 never got that. But there's so much in it that if you really go back and look, a lot, like, it laid the groundwork for so many things in the Zelda franchise. Like all the towns are later go on to be the sages in Ocarina of Time.
Right.
The like down thrust, a lot of the sword combat. I mean, it's pretty advanced for the NES. I mean, really, I mean, you have like high strikes, low strikes. It's pretty fast. Like even if you compare it to say something like Castlevania, the combat is way faster in Zelda 2. Yeah, it is a very smooth game. I mean, does it have flaws? Yes. it definitely has flaws, most of them being translations. And
I was like, just gonna say localization in that game, terrible,
not great, not having like no idea what to do. Like there's one part where you have to find some guy in the woods, and you literally would have like I have no idea how people figured it out in the 80s. Like no way how right. These people
I get the same thing with Castlevania 2. I don't know how people figured that game out without like a new translation. Because that is another game that suffers from localization. I don't understand how people get through that game without a guide.
There's a lot of, like, it's really crazy to think about a lot of those games before the internet where it's like translations, you'd be like stuck. Like, I'll tell you a game I was stuck on for a long time, Chrono Trigger. Really? Because early in the game, when you go to the second area, when you go to the future, like the dystopian future, yeah, there's a part where it's like you have to, it's like XABY or something like that, but it's like said to you, it's not said to you as like, oh, you need to do this button combination. Right. And so I'm like, who the is Zabby or like whatever? Like, and I'm like, what is he supposed to do? And it's like, oh, you're supposed to press the buttons. And so it's crazy. Like you would get stuck in games because you'd have no idea. So Zelda 2 is up there. I'm like, I'd have no idea how people figured this out.
Yep.
Like Metroid 1, at least at least with Metroid 1.
That's tough without a map.
But a lot of it, once you kind of figure out like, oh, I can get this item, then I can go here. It's way more straightforward than Zelda 2.
Right. Yeah, I agree. It's unfortunate they haven't done anything with it. I do love it. Tons of nostalgia. Beautiful music. It is great music. Like the music from Zelda obviously was in the initial intro screen of the first one, but this one's got like its own catchy, unique sound.
I love them.
Yeah.
I did a review for that on my YouTube channel. It's like one of my best videos ever. And I actually did some audio remixes of it, like my own like interpretation of some of the music and stuff like that. And those have done both well. I love like the title screen. I love the title screen to Zelda 2 is so sick. Like Zelda 1 is kind of cool, but Zelda 2, it's like this sword on the cliff, you know, like
the game over screen.
I mean, it's just like the title screen, but if you game over it, well,
that initial title screen is amazing, but it has like one of the most sinister game over screens of all time too.
Oh,
isn't it? Just like Ganon, like it's so sick.
Yeah, it's so cool. Yeah, so you have that going for it too. Actually the Japanese version is kind of interesting if on the Famicom disc system of all things, because it has better music. It's more enhanced music, so you can go listen to that, and there's like a few extra, a little bit of musical orientation in there, which is kind of interesting and kind of cool. So I hope that Nintendo would release that version at some point. But I will say, I also think that this is a game that is so much more accessible and it's easier to play today, just because like if you're playing on the Switch online version or most emulators, you can rewind, and so I think it just makes it so much more forgiving, because there are definitely a lot of like totally cheap NES deaths where it's like you just get boom hit by something and knocked into the water, which is super annoying. And in this game, you basically just get all the way sent back to like the first castle. So then you gotta march all the way there, you know, and do it. Even though there is like a save feature, it does get a little annoying.
Yeah, it's iconic. I'm with you though. I'm not one of those haters. I do love it.
Yeah. Okay. What do you have next? What's your next game?
Next up is probably one of my, again, I think it's a hated game. Not to me. I think 2 is one of the best games on the NES. Probably one of my favorite Mario games. It is, I'm not, disclaimer, this is not Mario 3. It is not the original game. But I can't think of a more nostalgic time where I went to the rental store, which was called Major Video, before Blockbuster came and bought them all up. I went into Major Video with my dad, and he was like, go ahead and rent a game. And I didn't know Mario 2 was out, and it was there on the shelf. And I freaked out, and I was like, holy hell, there's 2 of them. Yeah. And I brought it home, and I didn't know how to get through the first door. I didn't know up was a thing. Because I was like, I don't know how this came out in, what, 88?
Right.
I was like 7. I'm like, what, up, hitting up on the door? I had no idea. But man, tons of nostalgia for that game. It's beautiful. Yes. And another segue from the disc system, it is based on Doki Doki Panic, which is a rough game. I'm so glad Miyamoto got on this and fixed it to a perfect game, I think. And there's just, if you've ever played Doki Doki Panic, to get the true ending in that game, you have to beat it with every character. And a lot of the attributes are the same for each character, like Luigi and Toad. A lot of the attributes are the same, but there's no running. It is a slog to get through that game and to get the true ending. But man, Mario 2, definitely a top 10 NES game for me.
So underrated just as a Mario game. And I'm with you. I love it as well. I think the only thing I think that would have made that game better is I think they should have included like a fireball, you know, the fire mushroom or, you know, the fire flower. I think that was like, it's the one thing that really kind of caused people to be like, this feels like too different. Because instead, what you did get is the different characters, and they all have different attributes. You know, Mario's a little more balanced and straightforward. Luigi can do the kind of flutter kick, and Peach can fly, which I think is just super cool. Because you go back and play, and like that first stage is just so inventive and creative. You're on these waterfalls. There's new enemies. You can throw the POW blocks and kill everything. You can like go through these magic doors and all of this stuff. Just such an interesting way of playing a Mario. I know they converted it, but look at how much, like, for it being in a way kind of the black sheep of the Mario, at least the first 4, you know, main Mario games. You have, you say it like Land and stuff too, which I also love Mario Land, but 2, so much inspiration of 2 went forward, just like with Zelda 2, like so much of that formula went forward. Like, oh, you know, actually these 4 characters, like that's one of Super Mario 3D World, or is it 3D Land? 3D World? 3D Land is the one that's on 3DS. And 3D World is the one that's on Wii U and Switch. Yes.
3D World was on
Wii U and Switch.
That was also on 3DS, no?
Or no, 3DS is 3D.
No, you're right.
Yeah, 3DS is 3D Land, where you just play as Mario. It was like the first game that came out. And 3D World, is also the Cat Mario Bowser's Fury game. I love that game. That's like the Mario game I go to the most when I'm like, I want to play a Mario.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Life is unpredictable, but how you prepare for the unexpected shouldn't be. Take ownership of your life planning with Policy Genius to help your loved ones have a financial safety net in case something happens to you. Whether to cover debts and routine expenses or even invest the money and earn interest over time. With Policy Genius, finding and buying life insurance is simple. You can compare quotes from top insurers and could find coverage that fits your needs and your budget. Plus, they offer life insurance policies starting at just $276 a year for $1 million in coverage. It's an easy way to feel good about and plan for the future. No wonder Policy Genius is the country's leading online insurance marketplace. Don't wait for life to make other plans. Protect your family today. Head to PolicyGenius.com to compare top-rated life insurance policies, get your lowest quote, and make a smart move in under 10 minutes. That's PolicyGenius.com.
Like of any of the new stuff, that's like the one I prefer the most. So like the traditional really? Levels, you get to play as the four characters. They all play different. It's just so cool, and I love that they kept so much of that right. formula for Mario 2.
Yep, I agree. I don't understand the hate. I think people, like, once they realized that it was not the official Mario 2 that was made in Japan, I think that's when people kind of abandoned this game. But not me. I did when I first started on TikTok. I streamed a lot of Doki Doki Panic. I'm telling you, it's a slog to get through. I know Miyamoto had a very limited engagement with the team that actually worked on 2, but Rich Sprites, Nintendo, please give us Wart back as a villain. It would be such a cool thing to go through in this modern world. I love the characters, like the villains in that game. Mauser, I think, is one. The Flame, the three-headed snake. I don't know their names, but man, such cool villains to have in that that series. Bring us that stuff back, please.
Yeah. Well, hey, this is perfect because it'll segue me into another Mario game that maybe people don't view as like, oh, it's the top tier Mario franchise, and that's Dr. Mario. Love me some Dr. Mario. I do have the Dr. Mario amiibo back there. I should have brought him over for this. But yeah, you know, it's so interesting because have you seen the Tetris movie?
I did. I just watched it, actually.
You just watched it, like on Apple or whatever? It was pretty good.
Yeah, a couple weeks ago. It was pretty good.
Yeah. Yep. It's really like a action thriller. You know? Yeah. Like
espionage.
Not the route I was expecting it to go. But yeah, it was a great movie. But yeah, you know, it kind of got me thinking a little bit about this and like just how important Tetris was to Nintendo, being on the Game Boy and everything. But recently they've said something about talking about Nintendo creating new intellectual properties. They said we kind of don't really need to make any new intellectual properties. And I thought more about this when the Switch 2 was first coming out. I made a bunch of videos talking about how, like, I think it's insane how successful the Switch 1 was, given the fact that it didn't have so many of the huge franchises. Like the right. Wii was ultra successful, but it still got all those big franchises. Like it got a Wii version, mostly because the PS2 and PSP had such long life cycles that they're like, okay, well, we can just kind of make this version work for both. Like a lot of the Wii games are still like the PS2 just went on forever, and they're like the same versions, like Star Wars Force Unleashed.
Right.
It's like the PS2 and the Wii version. Like that's an example. But like the Wii got Call of Duty, the Wii got Need for Speed, the Wii got, you know, even if it was own version, like a Need for Speed Nitro as opposed to, but I think it got its own version of the Run. You know, it got still its own version of that because the sales were just so high that it was such a huge market that they didn't want to let it go. Well, the Switch didn't have that. The Switch doesn't have Call of Duty. The Switch right. didn't have Elden Ring or Star Wars, you know, like Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. It didn't, you know, later it got like Resident Evil cloud versions, but it didn't have any of those big Resident Evil franchises or, you know, a lot of those. It didn't even have Madden at all. The Switch had no football game whatsoever, essentially.
A lot of retro collections.
Yeah, a lot of retro collections and everything. And the more I kind of thought about it, I was like, well, you know, the funny, interesting thing is when you go and you look at like the best-selling games on the Switch, they're all Nintendo properties. And it's because Nintendo doesn't really need. They already have like their own version of almost every big style of game, right? And that's why I was thinking about this. I was thinking kind of about this and the Tetris movie. And it's like, okay, well, It's like, oh, you need like an action shooter. They've got Splatoon. Oh, you need like a big action adventure like Red Dead or like Zelda. They've got Zelda, right? They've got Mario. They've got Mario Kart. They've got, you know, like their own sports franchises and everything. And here is kind of the same thing, is like they tried and said, we're going to make our own puzzle game. We're going to make our own Tetris with Dr. Mario. That is essentially what they did.
What you just said is something I haven't really thought about before, where they have their own spin on their own IP and they have their own version. I never really thought of that. And you're right. They do. They don't need it,
which is crazy. And it's like, that's the thing. Yeah. Like, that's why I'm a Nintendo shareholder.
That's why you own Nintendo product. Yeah. When people want a more powerful Switch 2 on the Steam Deck, I agree. It is more powerful. Go for it. You're not getting the games. You're not getting the content. You're not getting the IP.
Yeah. Nintendo's intellectual property is so powerful that they essentially don't need third party.
No, I mean,
they do. Like, you do.
It's
like,
great.
But like, if you look at Switch 1 is mostly Nintendo's EP and indie games. And like they create, and I think Sony keeps finding all these new PlayStation 2s they sold in these new numbers where they're just like, well, because every time the Switch gets close to like passing it, they're like, Sony's like, actually, we found some more numbers, because they don't want the Switch to be the best selling console, which it actually may be, if Sony stops fudging the numbers. But, you know, it's just so interesting. So anyway, with my game, Dr. Mario, that we're going to be talking a little bit about here, it's the same thing. You know, it's their spin on Tetris. And now, is it as good as Tetris? No, it's a little slower. Like, you're only throwing the pill with the two sides. It's a different way of doing it, but it's still something that I just had so much joy playing back in the day, both here on NES and on Game Boy. And like I said, I talked a little bit about my aunt, and so she was the one I'd always go over and play everything. And so actually, she died like last year, and she died like the week before my daughter was born, so like 18 months ago or whatever. And so I actually was like thinking about her and stuff like that, and I kind of like dove back into Dr. Mario because that was like her favorite game. Mm-hmm. And so I actually, like, last year, because it was on Switch, like, went, like, hardcore into Dr. Mario, like the NES version, and, like, played it for, like, because it was, like, the perfect kind of pickup and puzzle play game. And now, like, you know, on the Switch and everything, of course, you can do this emulation, but you can, like, pick up right where you left off. So you don't have to, you know, just, like, start over every time and stuff like that. And so I was playing, like, a lot of Dr. Mario, going deep into Dr. Mario, like playing the games, playing some of the more levels. So only two songs, but both the songs are great. Fever and Chill, love it.
So sorry about your aunt. She sounds very cool because she had a Nintendo.
Yeah.
But I think that no other system or company is gonna give you nostalgia of people like Nintendo. Like, especially the NES. I think back to playing with my cousins. I could think of sitting on the bed with my cousin just playing through Mega Man 3. I can think of a specific game. I remember where we were. I remember just the conversation that we had, because I remember picking his brain about certain bosses. Like, how do you know the order? Because I was so young, you know, and he's the older cousin. But it's an amazing system that makes you connect to not just memories of the game, but people that you experience them with. I think that's magical.
Same thing. You know, it's like RBI Baseball. Well, that was another game I was considering picking because we had that too. And it's like, I remember my cousin, so we would play it and he would just own me every time. And then one time I finally beat him. And he's like, that's a fluke. He was like so upset. We proceeded to play again. And then he just absolutely decimated me. But I still, you know, hold that one victory on him. So
is this a hot take that Dr. Mario isn't as fun solo as it is with a, you know, competition playing with somebody else?
I think so.
Yeah.
No, I think it's definitely better. It's is Dr. Mario, like, I will almost always like would choose Tetris over it, just because I think it's just a better game. Even like, you know, some of the newer versions, like the version that was on the Wii that like with the online play was pretty cool, and I thought that was a good idea. It's crazy Nintendo has not brought it back in any fashion whatsoever.
Tetris or Dr. Mario?
Dr. Mario.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because now that, because they have the Tetris 99, which is much fun. Did you play that?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And I was like, man, that should have been Dr. Mario 99.
Should have.
Yeah.
Nintendo, please let us work for you. We get some ideas.
We do, yeah. We're business part. I mean, we're both Nintendo shareholder. Okay, I mean,
that's right. Nintendo.
Like, come on.
These games are basically free.
Pretty much. Yeah. They pay us.
That's right.
All right. I'm going to toss it back to you.
Nostalgia. Again. But Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, the arcade game. One of my favorite NES games of all time.
Is that what's playing right behind you?
It is, actually.
Yeah.
It's not quite like the arcade game because there was exclusive content in the NES version. Like a whole zoo level that was frozen over in New York. And there was like a boss fight with a panda. Like, it was just cool. It is reminiscent of the arcade version. But man, nothing takes me back to sitting at a friend's house playing Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, co-op mode, trying to beat the game. Like that, those two games, Super Mario Brothers 2 and this Turtles 2, just take me back. Such a good beat 'em up.
Very different than Turtles 1.
Very different.
Which is known for its like very brutal difficulty.
Very different. I beat that a couple of years ago because I felt like it was I owed it to myself as an adult. My childhood would expect me to beat that game, and I did it. But man, is that a reskin or what? That they just had a game laying around, I think, and they were like, let's just throw some turtles in. I don't know.
Yeah, brutal. That game is absolutely brutal. But the second one is one that I did not play as a kid or growing up. I played it later on emulation because I was a Sega kid. So I did play an insane amount of Hyperstone Heist. And, you know, then obviously I had Tournament Fighters on the Genesis as well, which is not particularly a great Ninja Turtle game, but ton of Hyperstone Heist. And obviously then later Turtles in Time. But man, you know, I went back and played Turtles 2 on the NES just because it's like, oh, I mean, you know, it's like a beat 'em up too. And I think, you know, had I played it before the other ones, I still would have been like, this is a great game.
It is.
That opening beat level is just like so iconic.
Right. Yep. And then they made the sequel to that, which was based, then they found their kind of groove. They were like, this is a beat 'em up game, right?
Mm-hmm.
Manhattan Project, such a good game. Maybe again, it suffered the end of the life cycle of the NES, so it wasn't widely known like the previous two games, but fantastic too.
What do you think is the best? What is your favorite, or what do you think is the best Turtles game?
Two.
And really,
on the NES, if we're saying.
I just meant in general. Yeah.
In general, it's gotta be Turtles in Time, but two is a close second.
Have you played the Shredder's Revenge, the newer one?
Yeah.
Yes, it's great. I love that game. I think
you
I
see
called
their
it
new the game.
The
company that made that.
Oh, they're making a Marvel game.
Yeah. It looks
sick. I haven't played the Power Rangers one. I played I played Streets of Rage 4, but they didn't do Streets of Rage. But I love Streets of Rage 4. Because for a long time I always felt like Streets of Rage 2 was the best beat 'em up ever. I liked it more. I actually am in the camp where I prefer Hyperstone Heist Turtles in Time. I think they're both good. Here comes the Sega versus Nintendo. They're both good. I think they're like more different though than people really. I mean, yes, there are similar
very
stages
different
and music and stuff like that, but they play differently. Like some of the things I don't like about Turtles in Time is your hitboxes are actually a lot smaller because the characters are like, and so sometimes it's like, man, I feel like I'm barely hitting stuff like that. Whereas like Turtles in Time, Hyperstone Heist, I was speed running. Like, how quickly can I get through the game? So I think like they are two very different. Like,
they are very different.
I think for the people who are like hardcore about it, I mean, if you're just like surface level, you're gonna be, this is the same game. But if you're hardcore about it, then you do. And I know, you know, it's one of those things where sometimes it's just music is just, it's, there are some songs I'm like, it sounds better on the Super Nintendo, and some songs where I'm like, nah, I think I like the Genesis version more.
So I think we've talked about turtles before on one of the previous episodes, and I think it was you that said that you have a really hard time with Turtles in Time, difficulty wise.
I think it's harder.
I think Hyperstone Heist is way harder.
Really?
I think it's harder. I think it's harder because I can breeze through. Maybe that's actually just
like muscle memory. It's like I played Sega more, and so when I go to the Super Nintendo, I'm like, what is this? Yeah. You're the other way around.
It's true. I can breeze through Turtles in Time, and I try to play through Hyperstone, and I'm like, oh my god, why did they make it this hard?
Apparently it's not that hard. One of the things you look, if you go look up any review where people talk about it, and I've reviewed both games, and you know, people talk about it and everything, but man, they're always like, well, the run button, there is a run button in the Super Nintendo version. You just have to switch the controls around. It's just not like a straight up dedicated thing for it. But yeah, I don't know. I'm a Hyperstone guy. I'm just used to it, I guess. This is what all it comes down to. I think it's just whichever one you played.
True.
They did do that Turtles in Time for the 360 where they kind of like remade the game and it was like bad.
No, I don't want to play it. I don't even want to talk about it.
Yeah. No, we won't. We don't have a deck.
I don't want to talk about it. It was okay. It just, I don't know. I didn't like I don't like it when they do that stuff. Like they did it with X-Men as well. They remade X-Men the arcade, but it was like modernized and it didn't feel the same, you know?
Yeah. Simpsons arcade. That's what the team behind that did they make a G.I. Joe game too? The Shredder's Revenge people?
Yes. Wait.
Can Disney? I mean, if Disney's hooking them up with Marvel, now that Disney owns Simpsons, that's what we really need. We need another Simpsons arcade with that style. Oh man, that could be so good.
Disney,
they're probably already working on it.
Nintendo, give us a job. We got you.
Seriously. Yeah.
That's a good idea.
Okay. Let's see. Okay. So this is it. This is the last game, right? Last game we're talking about here today, right? All right, man. Mike Tyson's Punch Out. So good. So beloved. Another franchise. We talked about this last time or the time before. Nintendo. Where's Punch Out? Why? Punch Out 99. That would be so sick because they gave us F-Zero 99. Mm-hmm. Give us Punch Out 99. You're like facing off against your character, then you can like throw down points and make the opponent stronger and faster and everything. And of course, you know, we talked about this when we did the Super Nintendo episode where I was like so dead I could barely talk. I've tried to go back and edit some clips out of that, and it just sounds so awful. I was like, sick, but we rescheduled like four times, and so I was like, oh, whatever, I'll just do it. But NES version I still think is the best, and then the Wii, I like the Wii version as well. I mean, all three games are great, but yeah, it's so interesting. I mean, this is a franchise you feel like Nintendo would hammer home more, but maybe it's just because it's still like everyone really thinks about it as Mike Tyson's Punch Out, even though there is like the regular Punch Out version, right? Mr. Green, which is the version that you see on everything, Virtual Console and now on Switch and stuff like that, because they lost the Mike Tyson's license. But it's really what made it special was it was Mike Tyson, who was like the biggest deal at the time. That's what made it so cool. You had to get all the way. Man, you could beat Mike Tyson. Such a cool thing to do. But even if you're playing just the regular Punch Out, all of the characters are just so iconic. You know, Von Kaiser and King Hippo.
King Hippo's the man.
Bald Bull and, you know, all of those, all of the Glass Joe, all those characters. Just so, so much fun. What you pointed back there.
Yeah, King Hippo's on the screen. I got Captain N playing in the back.
Oh, okay. He was right there. Yeah.
He was one of the villains on that show. Yeah. And Eggplant Wizard and Mother Brain.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, it's just such a cool, iconic thing. That's one of those. I was so glad when they finally added Little Mac to Smash because I was like, he's somebody who should totally be in Smash Brothers. And I felt he worked so well for Smash Brothers.
Little Mac worked so hard. He deserves to be in that game.
He just totally deserves. And it's just such a cool premise because it tied into the Rocky franchise a little bit, you know, felt like that, which was, you know, big at the time. So it had like everything kind of going for it when it, you know, came out. But yeah, it's just such a cool way to do a sports game. It's cool way to do boxing. Make it a puzzle game, and Mario's the ref. It's just like everything works in that game.
I don't think boxing is in the state that it was in the 80s. Right. So if anything, they should definitely do a game to bring it and revitalize it a bit, because it's all about MMA. It's all about UFC. And those games are kind of fun. Like the newer one, I don't know, is it the fifth one on PS5? It's a lot of fun. Me and my friends will just throw it in, try and just knock each other out. It's a lot of fun. But I don't think there's anything in boxing right now, game wise. No. Nothing good.
No, I mean, well, boxing
was last time.
Fight Night was great, but yeah, there's boxing itself is just not like, I mean,
no, it's
Floyd's too old now. I mean, what was the last like mega fight? The last mega fight was like Floyd Mayweather Pacquiao.
No,
I mean, when McGregor Pacquiao or McGregor Mayweather, that was probably like the last like mega fight.
Yeah,
like, ever, that was kind of felt like it was like must see.
Wilder and Fury. That was another big one.
But I would say international level is probably like McGregor. Like, I mean, toward people outside of like boxing fans were like, oh, this, I want to watch this, was probably right. Mayweather McGregor.
Or is it Mayweather Paul when he fought Logan Paul?
Oh, God. Logan Paul's in WWE now. So he's, you know.
True. He can't do the boxing thing. But I think boxing in general is in rough shape. Give us a game. You have these amazing characters, another great IP. You own it. Do something with it.
Well, just like Silk Song, it's the perfect game to drop for like $20.
Yeah.
Like, even if they just did what they did for the Wii, like, even like, you know, you've got the Joy-Cons, you can still do the punching if you want, whatever. But I still, you know, I still think the original formula, playing with the Joy-Cons, even if you want to do it like this, so it's like an NES controller, just like you did on the Wii. But man, I still, it's just like it'd be such a good thing for Switch 2 to have a more modern Punch-Out game, because it's like Punch-Out is one of those franchises where you could release it like every like 10-15 years, which I don't know, when the one that came out on the Wii, that was probably like what, 2009? I don't know, 2007, yeah, 2008,
2008. Yeah,
right, like right in that thing. So I mean, it's been 15 years, right? I mean, it's been like 16 years. It's like you that's totally a franchise you could just release one game every 10 years, and even if it's just kind of a reimagining of the last one, it's fine, because it just feels new enough.
Yep, I agree. It's kind of rough, and Nintendo needs to do something.
Yeah. Okay, well, we're gonna have to come back and do another big NES episode, because there's just way too many great games. But briefly, we can talk a little bit about just some honorable mentions, and then maybe we can dive deeper into them in another episode.
Definitely.
Oh yeah.
Have you ever heard of Mario 3? Too big to not talk about. I didn't really want to talk about Mario games in general, but 2 is just like so iconic for me, and 3, of course, is 3. But think of the movie The Wizard. So I have tons of nostalgia for that movie. The impact about that game on the world, you felt like that was just a transformative game that everyone knew was coming out. Every kid had to have. What an impact on gaming this game had.
Oh, absolutely. I still debate. Is World better than 3? And I think I said this to you before, I think it comes down a lot to like, which do you prefer? Do you prefer, like, the thing I like about 3 over World is like the 3 over Super Mario World, I should say, is, man, the variety. Oh, there's so many different power-ups, right? Like the frog suit and the tanuki suit, and you know, the one that turns you, then you've just got the tail, the raccoon suit, right? But the tanuki suit is basically the same thing, but you turn to the statues, and there's just so much cool variety in that game. It's just, you know, one of the things I really love. But all of the secrets, right? The warp whistle is so cool, and it spawned a lot of things. You know, there was like a Super Mario cartoon that was like based on like Super Mario 3, like the Adventures of Super Mario Brothers and something like that. I remember watching it. I bought it on DVD at one point, and I probably got rid of it. It's probably through the dumpster somewhere, or, you know, Goodwill. It's probably still sitting on some Goodwill shelf and like collecting dust or whatever. But yeah, just so iconic. I thought I already talked a little bit about RBI Baseball, that, and I've talked about Tecmo Super Bowl before as well. Those definitely my two go to. I still pick those up, sports games.
You know, suck at RBI Baseball.
It can be difficult.
It is tough.
It can be difficult, but it's so simple that it's just one of the things. I mean, that's what made the NES so good. So like, what are some of your, like, what are some of your go-to, just like, oh, I'm gonna play a little NES. Like, what's your
Punch Out? Obviously I could pick that up anytime and just play for like an hour at least. Another one, one of my other honorable mentions is Gyromite. One of the cooler games to play with Rob, not that you can just pick it up and play because it requires two controllers. It was one of the gimmicks that Rob, who's over here, my boy Rob, the robot, he would kind of control the levers in the game, but it's a puzzle game and it's a lot of fun. I think there's like 100 levels, but people don't know much about it, and they don't, it is a little bit niche because of Rob. It is a gimmick. I do love it. It is comfort food for me. I love throwing in Wild Gunman, another great game. If you remember Back to the Future 2, he plays it. Mm-hmm. That's the baby toy comment. And obviously Castlevania, another.
Yeah.
Just throw it in. I could just play. Brutal. It is brutal, but man, is it fun.
Yeah. Yeah. For me, you know, we talked a little bit about this after we finished recording last time, but man, Adventures in the Magic Kingdom.
Oh yeah, Mickey Mousecapade.
I'm pretty sure Mickey Mousecapade is the first video game I ever played.
Cool.
Another one, kind of randomly, and I actually never played this as a kid, and I just played it through emulation, and sometimes I still go back to it, and it is Spot, the video game, which is the 7-Up game, because 7-Up back in the day, man, their icon, right, which is literally just a red spot that's in the 7-Up. He had like sunglasses, he was cool. And so there is like a Genesis and Super Nintendo version, which is like an action platformer, but there was an NES version, I think like a Amiga as well, where it's like Reversi or Othello, right? And I still go back and play that every now and then. I don't know why. It's just like, I just like it. I like that version of the game where, you know, you just like move them over here and it turns the blocks and then, or the little discs, and just cool little animations and stuff.
We lived in a time when you could play the franchise's mascot, which was Spot, which was Noid. Domino's had his Noid. Why would I play a game for that? You know, it's a wild time to be alive.
I know. So I just want to go back, get those like pizza chips and all the early, you know, Domino's, all just the early 80s, early 90s nostalgia.
Yeah. Throw some pizza rolls in the microwave, kick back.
Pizza bagels, pizza in the morning, pizza in the evening, pizza at supper time, and pizza on a bagel. You can have pizza anytime.
Anytime. I think that Ninja Turtle 2 game has the free Pizza Hut coupon as well.
Oh, okay. Well, don't throw that away. Yeah, that's a collectible.
Yeah. I might redeem it.
You know, what about Game Genie? Did you play Game?
Oh yeah.
We had the little book and everything.
That just thinking about that, it was just like a hack to break the game, because some of those codes were just very strange.
Right. Some like did totally, like some made the game not playable. Like, and I know, remember Mario, you get like the moon jump and it's like, like, okay, you know,
I have to reset it now.
Yeah, and I have to reset it. It basically broke the game.
Kind of strange.
Yeah,
the whole little gimmick, but
cool. Well, yeah, we're gonna have to come back and talk some NES. I think next time we're gonna do, still waiting on my N64 by Analog, by the way. It's supposed to come out, and then they delayed it again. So who knows? But,
any day now. Well,
any day now. Do you have any conventions or anything, any gaming conventions you're going to?
I was thinking about going to Retro World. I forget what it is. There's one in Connecticut that's not far from us. I've been a couple of times. I saw the gaming historian there. I talked to him for a bit. He's great. but it's a lot of booths. It's a lot of haggling. Yeah. That's about it. But in the actually, the reason why I wanted to wait for some of my pickups recently was because I have them here. And last time I was at PAX, I talked to the developers for this game. And on my Instagram, I talked about Spirit Halloween kind of releasing.
Oh, yes.
1986 Haunted Halloween Spirit Edition. Now it's sold out. You can't get it. It's like $150 on eBay, which is insane. Hopefully they make some more. But when I started to research who the developer was, I realized I had talked to them at PAX East. I was like, oh, it's these guys. So I went on their website. I picked up Haunted Halloween 85, which was still available, which I think is now sold out. And one of the sleeper games is called Full Quiet. Look at that box art. It is just gorgeous. Very easy, simple, illustrated. It's basically like a Metal Gear. Very, very hard. Harder than Metal Gear. But like stealthy, action-based. I think it's great that you can still find good quality NES games today that you can just pick up and play.
Yeah.
Throw it in the system. It is beautiful what they do. The packaging is great. Once I discovered these guys, I've been sleeping on them for a long time. So definitely check them out. They're called Retrotainment.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Well, we'll do that. Cause I don't know next time we'll record here in a couple of weeks or whatever, but I'm going to Portland Retro Gaming Expo.
Nice.
It's the next month. So just bought my tickets for that. So looking forward to that. And I know Metal Jesus and some of those other people are always there. So
I'd love to meet them.
Yeah. Yeah. So, well, maybe I'm going to, if I talk to them, I'll say, hey, get them on here. We can bring them on and talk to them. So,
you're gonna try and pick up some 64 games when you're there?
I think so. Yeah. I've definitely got some more games on my list that I really want to look for. Road Rash 64 is, I think, my next game I'm really kind of looking for. Because I've been playing it a little bit with emulation here. But I had Road Rash 3D, I should say, on which is on the PlayStation 1. And because there's two Road Rashes on PlayStation 1. Right. There's Road Rash, which is like the same as the Saturn version, and then there's Road Rash 3D, which is a different version, but I feel like that's what they kind of like 64 is kind of its like counterpart.
Do you have Dr. Mario 64?
Not yet, but it's on. I will be getting it.
Okay.
But for me, it's really the NES and Game Boy version. Yeah, it's just the version I want to play. So cool. All right. Well, hey, where can people find you on the internet?
YouTube, TikTok, and Instagram, Age of Retro. Come check out some of my content. It's fun. It's not serious. That's where I'm at.
Okay. Well, you guys, as always, can find me anywhere on the internet at Super Games Bros. But if you like this podcast, be sure to hit that like button, subscribe for more content, give us a review on iTunes. If you'd like an opinion or a question of your own, share it in the show. Be sure to leave us a comment or send us an email at boxtrickgaming@gmail.com. I hope you guys have a great rest of your day.
Trying to lose weight? It's time to try Hers. At forhers.com/foryou, you can access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss treatments tailored just for you. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans. plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.